Good morning, and welcome to worship at Advent wherever you are this morning.
Reading from 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When my mom went blind, she got scared of the world around her. Sickness is scary. And if you had any doubts about that, I'm sure you don't anymore. Part of the scare is that being sick brings fear. Fear of an unknown future. Just like being blind means fearing bumping into unknown objects. And fear blinds us to what God is doing in our lives. We have real-time experience now about how isolating fear can be, and how readily we draw boundaries to exclude the unknown other. The blind and others with disabilities are often excluded and isolated, and this virus social distancing is teaching us what it's like for them much of the time. And so we are invited by the gospel to enter the world this morning of someone who is isolated by blaming and forced begging. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he'd said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. So, who sinned? The virus violates our sense of fairness, as enfolded in karma doctrine that says you will eventually suffer for your sin. Even our leaders seek to blame others for the virus. It's human to want to blame when we are in fear. And so the society around the man born blind needs to have a place to fix the blame, a place that doesn't implicate them. At the story level, this healing story explores the nature of sin and blame. But John, the writer, has another theme to explore, the question of blindness to God's work, spiritual blindness. And at this level, he defines blindness as not understanding the revelation of God in Christ. Jesus doesn't talk of healing. He talks of doing the works of God, the works of him who sent me, he says. And then he talks of the day and night, which in John is a reference to being in the daylight and equated then with seeing. And seeing is perceived as seeing the presence of God in Jesus. At this level of John's writing, it's not at all about the blind man personally, just as miracles generally are not about you singular, but have a purpose in God's desire to heal the whole creation. They're about the you, y'all, the plural you. So then Jesus kneads the dirt and spit together. This is also St. John's code language for breaking barriers and Jesus' authority as God with us to do that. And it triggers the rest of the story because mixing and kneading the dirt and spit, that was forbidden on the Sabbath and was bound to provoke the Pharisees, who were sticklers for guarding their religious identity by obeying the Mosaic law. So Jesus sends the man to the pool of Siloam, which reveals another code level understanding. Siloam means sent. Jesus sent to reveal God. The blind man is sent to reveal Jesus, even though goes and does so without having literally seen Jesus, since when he returns from the pool healed and able to see, Jesus has left the scene. But there are plenty of village neighbors around with questions. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." And they kept saying, and he kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "How then were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." Here were people in the village who had passed this blind beggar every day, and they're not sure if they recognize him. So I wonder if they had ever really seen him as an individual person, or if they just stereotyped him as the blind beggar and never saw beyond that. And they had an excuse. It's okay, they felt, to exclude someone who, after all, must be a sinner. More of St. John's code. Do we really look at people with the heart, as our first reading says that God does? We're living in a time where illness is isolating all of us and perhaps teaching us to be more aware going forward of how disabling it is to isolate anyone, and that a condition that isolates can be even worse. Meanwhile, back to the village. These villagers want proof. Where is this man, Jesus? That's their question. And the answer, I don't know. In the midst of the suffering thrust upon us, some of us may be asking, "So, where is God? And the honest answer from some of the most faithful is, I don't know. So the villagers decide to find some knowledgeable sources, do the research. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. And now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who's a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Pharisees' greatest concern was about the Sabbath rule breaking that they felt was an insult to God. But on the other hand, only God could do this work. And so there was debate. The healed man took the side of those who said, it's God's work. He's a prophet. And that made the ones on the other side angry. Theological arguments through the ages have resulted in wars and deaths. The debate between who sees the truth and who's blind to it, who knows and who really knows what's from God and what isn't. Hard questions. And so they do the logical thing. They decide to get the facts from reliable witnesses, the man's parents, who were active members of the synagogue. The Jewish leaders did not believe that he'd been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, for they had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age. Ask him. More questions. And the parents tell what they know, but refuse to take sides, claiming they don't know and making their son face the Inquisition. Now, the nascent Jewish Christian community that St. John was writing to was facing the same dilemmas. Their friends and relatives in the community were making them choose between saying that Jesus was from God and then being shunned. John, in writing this, is lifting up the blind man to see him in solidarity with them. And so now he describes the dichotomies of knowing and not knowing, of seeing and blindness. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, now here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. The Pharisees, in blindness, refuse to believe their own eyes when they're seeing a miracle and given firsthand testimony. And rather than listen, they drive out the man who's saying things that would overturn their entire belief system if they let it in. They isolate him because he's revealing an unpleasant truth, and it would be inconvenient to accept it. We still do that all the time. Take climate change or not going to restaurants, inequality. I'm sure you can name a lot of them. And so the man is now alone. And who comes to find him? Jesus. Jesus heard that they'd driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. "Lord, I believe." It's the same thing that the Apostle Thomas said in that upper room after the resurrection, the first creed of the Christian church. And the response of faith is to worship, just as you're doing today, wherever you are. In the course of the story, the healed man is moved from describing Jesus as the man called Jesus to saying he is a prophet from God, to confessing belief, trust in Jesus as the Messiah. At the beginning of this story, there's no mention that he knew anything about Jesus or that he even asked him for help. Then, when he's pushed by the Pharisees to consider an explanation, he says, Jesus, he must be a prophet. So, implying that Jesus is doing God's work. When the Pharisees refuse this explanation, the man talks about seeing himself as Jesus' disciple, one who follows the teachings of Jesus. And then finally to Jesus, he confesses that he believes in Jesus as the Son of Man, the Savior from God, and he worships him. He comes to see Jesus as God with him, God with us, Emmanuel. And if you choose to be blind to that, oh well. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we're not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." In this whole long passage of interrogations, inquisition, and questions from all the characters, there's one central question. The story begins assuming the question is, whose sin caused the blindness? The answer is that God does not punish sin by hurting people. And the real question is not who sinned, but who is it that remains in sin? The real sin is not law-breaking. The real sin is the sin of unbelief. So sin doesn't cause blindness. It's blindness to God that causes sin. The sin of unbelief, the sin of not recognizing that it's not in the character of God to make people blind in retribution. Excluding, blaming, stereotyping, these are the real sins in this story. Jesus says that he's been sent to do the work of God in revealing to us the true character of God. And then, and here is more of John's deeper double meanings, then the blind man is sent to a pool called Sent. And when he comes back, Jesus isn't there. But the man finds himself in the position of being sent to tell others, both the receptive and the hostile, about what God has done for him in Jesus. And in repeatedly sharing his story and in revealing Jesus to others, his own faith grows and flourishes. In this time, when fear in our own households and all households has made us blind to the care and presence of God, Jesus has sent us to the font and anointed us in the water of our baptism. And he opens the eyes of faith and then sends us out to help those who are blind to the love of God. Help them see God's love present in us. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen. Heidi will now play the hymn Amazing Grace for us, and you may sing along at home or just follow and meditate on the music and the words. To confess the faith of the church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all God's creation. Gracious God, be with us in these days when gathering together as often as we would like is not possible. Help us to support those in your church whose gifts of technological expertise enable our worship today. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
We pray for our nation and the world as we face new uncertainties around coronavirus. Protect the most vulnerable among us, especially all who are currently sick or in isolation. Grant wisdom, patience, and clarity to healthcare workers, especially as their work caring for others puts them at great risk. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Be present with your loving touch to those in hospitals, nursing homes, and healthcare facilities, especially Ray, Reba, Ellie, and Ingrid. Guide those who research treatments. We pray for all those who have requested our prayers and for those we name now silently or aloud. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Bring calm to children and patience to parents and all whose lives are disrupted. Be with those who must work on behalf of us and with those who anxious over financial insecurity. For those things we lift to you now, either silently or aloud. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
We give thanks for those who have shed your light in times of darkness and through whom we have seen you. Send us as you sent them. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may share Christ's peace in your hearts, in your minds, and with those with whom you're quarantined. And now, we will offer Christ's peace to you in our musical offering from David.
Thank you.
Thank you, God, for David and his gifts. And welcome again to worship here at Advent via live stream. And again, we thank our musicians, David and Heidi. We thank Eric and Shane and company for their technological expertise and helping us get started. When St. Mark, in Mark's Gospel, this story of Jesus healing the blind man, it doesn't work the first time. And the blind man has to come back to Jesus for to get an upgrade, a redo. And so if you experienced along with us this morning, and we are thankful if you kept with it too, technological glitches as we got used to doing this. We are most grateful, and we invite you to come back next week to join us again for worship in this format. Meanwhile, we pray that you will stay safe and that all of the anxieties around your life right now you can put in the hands of God. We are sending him because we are being sent beneath the cross of Jesus. Heidi will play a verse and you may meditate or sing along as you choose. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. This service has been recorded and will be available on the website. You may also give via the website to this ministry if you choose. And please note that the labyrinth is always open for your meditation.